Once again, happy 27th anniversary. This is a great day in which to rejoice in the Lord Jesus and to bless the Lord our God for all of his provisions and blessings to us. And thank you for sharing your thoughts and remembrances. And I hope and pray that more memories will come in the years that are ahead should the Lord tarry. I've given some thought to what I would share with you this morning. We didn't invite any special speaker today. We thought we would just keep it in-house. And so I thought about what we could talk about or what we could share from the Word of God that would encourage us all as we carry on into the future. And I was trying to think of the key character quality that we need to have, and as individuals and as a local church as well. There are many good and necessary qualities the Bible tells us to have, many good and important things for us to do, but I landed on one this morning that I think captures the heart of what we should be and what we should do, and really, when it is in place, covers all of the other good things that we are to be and do. And that quality is given to us in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. Which says, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." Faithful. It's required in servants to be found faithful. And if we are faithful, then we will be and do all the other things that the Word of God tells us to do. We'll love one another as we should. We'll love our enemies as Christ taught us. We'll pray for one another. We will be good Bereans and search the scriptures daily, be in the word on a daily basis. We will be good witnesses for the Lord Jesus. We will serve the Lord. We will be honest, true, and humble. We will endeavor to live a holy, godly, and righteous life. We will trust in the Lord for all things that come into our lives. We will assemble ourselves in the house of God to worship him in spirit and in truth. We will present our bodies as a living sacrifice. We will submit to the Holy Spirit who dwells in our very bodies. And everything else you can think of this morning that we are to be and do, being faithful covers it all. It just embeds itself into every area of our lives, it seems to me. So notice just a couple of things from this verse. Number one, being faithful is required. Being faithful is required. Webster's 1828 dictionary defines required as, quote, demanded, needed, and necessary. It is necessary that a steward be found faithful. The Greek word is zeteo. Zeteo. And the basic meaning of zeteo and the common translation into English of that word is seek. To seek after, to strive after, to crave, to demand, or to require. To seek after something is embedded in the term required. So, the requirement is not something against one's will or desire or interest. Sometimes when we hear about what is required, you know, we get our backs up and say, you can't demand me to do this, that, or the other thing. This term, zeteo, has the thought, the basic idea of seeking something. Seeking what is required, seeking something that is sought after. So faithfulness is not a cold-hearted, demanding, indifferent kind of requirement, but a requirement here is basically a fulfillment of pursuit, a pursuit to seek after being faithful. Is being faithful a part of your daily pursuit? When you get up in the morning, do you ask the Lord for strength, for direction, for help to be faithful in the things that he has given you to do? Is it something that you seek after in your life? very important quality, Christian quality that we need to have. So being faithful is required, first of all. Secondly, the focus is on stewards. It is required of stewards that a man be found faithful. So the focus is on stewards. Now, the Greek word for steward is oikonomos. Oikos is the word for house. Nomos is the word for law. And so oikonomos means a household manager, one who kind of holds the law in the house, if you want, a manager, a superintendent, one who manages the affairs of a household or a farm, or even it's used of those who are treasurers in a city or in a church. A steward, someone who has that responsibility of management. In the context of 1 Corinthians chapter 4, the term relates to the apostles. The apostles were stewards of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They were stewards for local churches that they established and that they planted. And the Apostle Paul especially uses that term to relate to himself, a steward. But I would submit to you that it could also relate to us, individual believers, even as a local church, a corporate body, being servants of God, being servants of God, being servants of the Lord Jesus. And what is required of stewards is also required of us as Christ's servants. You know that we don't hold any possessions of ourselves. All that we have is because of the grace of God, the blessings of Christ. All that we have is his property, right? Just like we are his property. Even this place in which we meet is because of the grace of God and belongs to him. We are servants. We are stewards of what God has provided. Remember 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. Paul writes, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." And so, as servants of God, we are to be faithful to the one who owns us. We are required to be found faithful. And take note of that. Servants are to be found faithful. What does that mean? What does that express? May I suggest to you that faithfulness is a character quality that is to be seen and observed and recognized in us. To be found faithful means that others are going to take a look at your life, my life, life of this church, and we trust that they will see in us faithfulness in all of its areas and all of the things that we need to be faithful in. May others see that faithfulness in us. May we be found faithful, who we are and what we do. And thirdly, notice that the quality is faithfulness. Faithfulness. The Greek word for faithful here is pistos. It's an adjective, and it's translated faithful. It's a marvelous word, isn't it? We take a look at the world around us today, and we can see that faithfulness is wanting. It's few and far between anymore. People are just out for themselves mostly and not for anything related to God. And, you know, if you say something but you don't do it, well, that's neither here nor there in the minds of many people. This word pistos is translated into English with the words faithful, believing, sure, and true. Those English words are what pistos is translated into. It goes along with the sense of trustworthiness and being trustful as well. Trustful individuals. It is in another but related form to pistis. This is pistos. The other one is pistis. That is a noun form. And it's translated faith and occurs 247 times throughout our Bibles. Faith is a very important character quality that needs to be evident in our lives. And again, faith, belief, and trust are the triumvirate of our sense of salvation. Belief, faith, and trust go hand in hand. A three-legged stool kind of thing, a trinity of terms that express our salvation. The English word faithful occurs 82 times in our Bibles, some in the Old, mostly in the New, with many examples of people who are recognized as faithful. In the New Testament, there are many, many names of individuals recognized as faithful. For example, Timotheus, Paul's associate in his ministry. Moses is called faithful. Abraham is called faithful. Epaphras in Colossians is referred to as a faithful brother. And Silvanus as well in one of Paul's epistles. Even the Lord Jesus is noted in Scripture as being faithful. And on, many other names. And you can dig out your concordance and look up the word faithful and check all of those references and see the other names of people who have been faithful. I like the Apostle Paul's testimony in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, where he wrote, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." That's a wonderful testimony of the Apostle Paul. It's not about him. It's not about self. It's about what God has done in his life, giving him the enabling, counting him faithful, and putting him into the ministry. I would like to say this morning that I have a similar testimony to this of the Apostle Paul. For it was in September of 1983, that's 40 years ago now, September of 83, that I began to serve the Lord Jesus Christ as a local church pastor. Part-time at first because I was still in Bible school in those days, but then full-time when I graduated. I was ordained to the gospel ministry in May the 8th, 1988, when I was then at Westminster Hope Baptist Church, now Summerside Community. I served at Westminster Hope for 8 years and then believed that the Lord was leading us on. I served as an assistant pastor at Old Central Baptist Church for 5 years, which is where we got to know some of you. And then here at Berean for 27 years, totaling 40 altogether. There have been some wonderful times. There have been some not so wonderful times throughout. But there has been nothing else that I have desired to do than to serve the Lord Jesus as a pastor. Each time I finished at one position, whether at Westminster Hope or at Central, I always thought, well, maybe I could go back into drafting because I trained as an architectural technologist and for the first number of years served or worked as a draftsman for various companies. But each time I thought, no, I mean, I love drafting and would love to have been able to work on CAD systems, you know, the computerized drawing programs, but I thought, no, God has called me to serve him as a pastor. This is a calling, not just simply a job. It's not just simply a career. It's a calling. and what God has called me to, I need to be faithful and to be involved in it. So, 40 years, we've had the opportunity to serve the Lord, and I just, along with Paul, recognize that God has enabled me to do this, that he has found me, I guess, faithful, and has put me into the ministry. It wasn't anything that I really looked to do because I was always a very shy person. I still am. Don't like standing in front of large crowds of people to speak, but this is what God has not only enabled, but by his grace given us the abilities to do. The verse that expresses my understanding of who I am as a person is 1 Corinthians 15:10, which says, by the grace of God, I am what I am. It's only by God's grace. If it's up to me, I would fail miserably and wouldn't be able to do the things that God has given me to do. But by God's grace, I am what I am. My ministry verse, the verse that I took when I first became pastor over at Westminster Hope, is 2 Corinthians 4, verse 5, which says, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. That's how I see my service as a pastor, that I am your servant for Jesus' sake. I don't preach myself. I don't take any accolades to self. I'm not even telling you all of this for any kind of admiration that, you know, 40 years, wow, 40 years as a pastor. The Lord has always seemed to put me into places where there are small groups of people. And I think only at when I was at Central, the church was, I think, about 500 people. In those days, but I was only an assistant at that time. So it seems that the Lord's always had us in smaller venues, and that's okay with me. And I love even the small places. For 27 years here at Berean, it has been my delight to serve you and to minister to you, to preach and to teach the Word of God to you. And for as long as the Lord gives me breath, I will carry on in his servant's service till he comes again. It's also written of the Lord Jesus Christ that when he returns to this earth, in Revelation 19, verse 11, we read this, I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness doth he judge and make war. That's our Savior. That's the Lord Jesus, faithful and true. And that is going to be on his vesture when he comes riding on that white horse at his return to this earth. The Lord Jesus is both the prime example of faithfulness. He always did what the Father's will was for him to do. And he is the best reason for us to be found faithful as well. Our Savior is faithful. We ought to be faithful too. So then I thought, lastly, number four, what areas should we be concerned about in terms of being faithful? What things are we to be found faithful? So I'm going to submit for your consideration this morning the following dozen things. And I don't know if you can see them real clear, but here are 12 things in which we can work at being found faithful in. We ought to be faithful, first of all, in our marriage, and this isn't in any kind of order, it's just as the thoughts came to my mind. We ought to be faithful in our marriages and families, to our spouses, children, and so on. We ought to be faithful in our deportment in our society, how we present ourselves, how we interact with people around us, maybe at work or at the gas station, in the grocery store. Faithfulness ought to be reflected in how we conduct ourselves with one another. We ought to be faithful in our promises and commitments, what we say we will do. Let's be sure that we do. We ought to be faithful in our Christian lifestyle and living. We ought to be faithful in our attendance at church to worship and to fellowship. Hebrews 10:25 says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. It's important that we gather together, not only for mutual fellowship and ministry to each other, but also that we might worship the Father and the Son in spirit and in truth. We need to be faithful to the gospel of Jesus Christ, not only to believe it ourselves, but as we communicate it with other people, that we communicate it faithfully, truly. We don't want to mess up any words that the Word of God gives us as it relates to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Just tell it like it is and let the Spirit of God do His work in bringing conviction. We need to be faithful in our witness unto the Lord Jesus, Acts 1 verse 8, for example. We need to be faithful in the Word of God. We need to uphold the sound doctrines of the Scriptures, not water them down or compromise in anything. We need to be faithful in the Word of God. Number 9, in our giving. We need to be faithful in our giving. And I'm thinking more than just our tithes and offerings, but also to be faithful in our time, giving of our time, our talent, as well as our treasure, which is our tithes and offerings. We need to be faithful in bearing one another's burdens, as the Scriptures give us instruction. And certainly in the day and age in which we live, there are more burdens, I think, than ever before. And so we need each other to come alongside and to help carry those burdens. At one time, it may be someone coming alongside you to help, and maybe at another time, you're able to go to someone else and help them in a particular need that they may have. We ought to be always ready. We need to be faithful in praying. I think not just only at prayer meeting on Wednesdays, but any time of day. We ought to have that quiet time in which we can read God's Word and spend time in praying before the throne of grace. And lastly, we need to be faithful in the exercise of our spiritual gifts. Right? You all have a spiritual gift that has been given, either to serving or speaking. The Apostle Peter only lists those two general qualities of spiritual gift, either gifts of serving or gifts of speaking. And so we need to be faithful in the exercise of our spiritual gifts. Perhaps there are more things to consider, but these will give us a good start in thinking through our faithfulness. You all have been wonderful in all of these areas. And I trust that we can continue to be faithful and to be seen to be so in the years ahead till Christ returns. Thank you for your faithfulness to the Lord Jesus, to this church, to one another down through these years. And may God grant us another year by His grace and mercy to be faithful to Him and to His work here at Berean. So, once again, happy anniversary to you all. And trust that this will be a good day for each one.